prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of
the future of Star Wars.
Star Wars. Awesome. Star Wars.
It sounded like you got Arnold Schwarzenegger to do that.
No, it is UK Mail on my iPhone app. But, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron.
And I am Ethan.
Yes, we know who you are. And with us tonight is young master Noah Gibbs. Say hello, sir.
Returning tonight.
With his glorious return. I think your second episode was one of the lost episodes, come to think of it. So
we did Western, which I know got posted.
I might have comic book movies or something. I don't
know. I think it was sequels.
Samurai.
No, yeah. We didn't do Samurai. Did we do Coming of Age? No, that was with the other Ethan. We did something. But you know, Noah's been on the show a few times, and he is now a recent transplant to Kansas. He got out of Jersey while the getting was good, and then the ocean ate it.
For my mom's house got hit by a friggin' tree.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. But this is gonna be an awesome show. I hope that that's always the idea. But I think it's going to be. We are going to discuss the future of Star Wars tonight. If you've been living under a rock, just listen to our geekly happenings, and we will get into why we're talking the future of Star Wars. But speaking geekly happenings, why don't we just get moving right on into geekly happenings with this.
Geekly happenings, news that's relevant to us geeks.
Featuring Aaron's reactions.
And at this point, I'm going to welcome everybody watching or not watching on Ustream. If you're listening on iTunes later, good on you. But you could see this live. You could see it from behind the curtain. No nothing, no edits, no nothing, just live and naked.
Live and raw and in your face.
Raw and in your face. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. We are trying to, I personally have been wanting to move away from Geekly Happenings because when we lose an episode and we talk about news for, 40 minutes, then it's kind of irrelevant if you're listening just a little bit later. But it's actually kind of funny because it's like the movie god said, we're going to throw a bunch of stuff at you and you're going to have to address this. So we're going to start with what we think is the smallest news, work our way up to the biggest news. It's just showing our longevity as a podcast or our persistence or our not going away of this. But we are now at the point of casting for Captain America 2 Winter Soldier, and we now have a actor signed up to play none other than Crossbones, Frank Grillo. Did you two guys see this?
I did not. Who's Frank Grillo?
He's an up-and-coming actor, but the thing that you would know him from would be the Gray. Looking at his other stuff, he was in The Gray, he was in Warrior, Minority Report. Who was he in Minority Report? That one makes me. But, he's an up-and-comer, but, I don't really have an opinion of him. He's a fine enough actor, but it's kind of cool that we're going to get Crossbones, and we're also going to, obviously, we're going to get Bucky and Winter Soldier. I mean, call me speculative, soothsayery, but I have a feeling that Winter Soldier is going to be in this movie.
Okay, well, yeah. there's the whole title and all.
Yeah, well, there's that. Do you have an opinion on this at all?
Maybe we'll finally have they confirmed now that Sebastian Stan is back and everything.
Oh, beats the hell out of me. Is that not just a given?
Yeah, that's what I've guessed. I'm sure there are people, speculating wildly about it.
He is on the IMDb page for Captain America 2, and there's no rumor, none of that. It's just, he's on there, so it looks like he will be coming back. Noah, do you care about this? Are you familiar with Captain America, at least the comic books or Crossbones or anything like that?
I know Captain America. I don't specifically know who Crossbones is, although I really liked the first one, and I'm very interested to see the Winter Soldier. Now, I do know who Winter Soldier is, so that this could be kind of...
It's a really good storyline.
It is, yeah. So it could be pretty good. I'm actually just flipping through a bunch of stuff on a couple different movie sites right now, and there's a couple other interesting things that we'll move to that after the Captain America stuff.
Well, that's the end of the Captain America stuff. If you have anything that ties into that, that's fine. But go ahead.
not specifically Captain America, but I didn't. First off, maybe this is just me being behind. I didn't know that they had already planned the Muppet sequel.
Yep. And Ethan, I wasn't going to bring this up, but since Noah brought it up, have you seen the recent casting news for the Muppet sequel?
Yes.
Christoph fucking Waltz. I hope he plays Hans Landa in the Muppet sequel.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, it's casting. I wasn't going to bring it up, but it's kind of neat that Noah brought it up because obviously I'm a big fan of Inglourious Basterds. I'm a big fan of Christoph Waltz. You know, I did name Inglourious Basterds as my favorite movie of 2000 through 2010. So I like seeing this. That's cool. That's cool. And I'm also a big Muppets fan, so the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Even better.
Yeah. Moving on to the next little bit of it's comic book news. This is kind of... I don't know, but it is what it is. Bryan Singer has officially been signed on to direct X-Men Days of Future Past, the sequel to First Class.
Yeah.
Now
this one I am excited for because Days of Future Past is probably one of the greatest X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Well, it means we might finally get real Sentinel action, you know.
Well, and this is.
Oh, I know they had Sentinels in the original script for the first X-Men movie,
and then they never did it.
Yeah, and, well, because I know in the commentary and whatnot, Bryan Singer talks about how they actually got far enough that they were making a mock-up and they had a Sentinel head, and it's now his coffee table. So who wouldn't want a Sentinel head for a coffee table, you know? Really, but it's pretty cool. And Matthew Vaughn's going to produce on it. I liked X-Men First Class. I thought it was good.
I'm in the minority that I didn't. I understand that.
I'm excited to see what they do with it. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see Bryan Singer back in the director's chair after over 10 years now.
Uh-huh. I do think this is... I'm not going to say it's unprecedented, but I can't think of a time when somebody's had that long of an absence... And, you know, have stuff produced in their, you know, in their absence and then, you know, come back to, you know, take it on. So that's going to be kind of, I mean, Bryan Singer's he's a fine director. I don't particularly have any problem with him, but just all the X-Men movies, I've gone on about it before that they just don't do it for me. And I'm very happy that they exist, but you know, it's just not for me. So I hope it makes people happy.
I think the only other director I can think of something like that would be Martin Campbell with James Bond.
Yeah, that's true. I was, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you could also say, I mean, this is a very huge cop-out, but you could also say George Lucas, you know, because, you know, he directed the original Star Wars and then he returned, you know, what would that be, 22 years later to direct Episode One.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that. So, moving on to the reason why we're here tonight, folks. We had a show kind of set up. I had it set up for about 8 hours before it fell through. And then we decided that since tonight is Halloween, well, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We decided we were going to do movie monsters, and I was just like, fuck. I wasn't feeling it, but I'd do it anyway because I just like doing podcasts. And then this news came out yesterday, and it took over everything. Yeah. Ethan?
I know when I first saw the news that broke, I was like, they got to be joking. I mean, the whole Disney thing, I was like, okay, I could buy that. But then they're talking about the next, a new movie and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, this has got to be a joke.
This has to be a Halloween.
This has got to be a prank. It's on Forbes, it's on CNN, it's on, you know, coming soon. And so I was like, well, I'll be damned.
So the full announcement is?
Disney to buy Lucasfilm for $4.05 billion.
And follow it up with the fact that they've already announced they're making episodes 7, 8, and 9.
They've announced that they're making episodes 7, not 8 and 9. Wow. Disney does it that way. Think about to the original Pirates of the Caribbean. There was one, and then when it did well, they said, "Well, now we're going to make
What's in the press release is they're doing episode 7 in 2015, and they have hopes and plans to do a Star Wars film every 2 years or something like that.
Now, at this stage, we are like a little bit more than 24 hours after the news broke. We know nothing about it. We know it's Star Wars episode 7, and it's coming out in 2015, you know, tentatively. So at this point,
I
mean...
I can contribute that somebody spoke with Mark Hamill, and then Mark Hamill had been speaking the previous week with George Lucas,
mm-hmm.
and that George had said, "We decided we're going to do episodes 7, 8, and 9. And I was just gobsmacked. What, are you nuts? I see both sides of it, because in a way, there was a beginning, middle, and an end. We all lived happily ever after, and that's the way it should be. And it's great that people have fond memories, if they do have fond memories. But on the other hand, there's this ravenous desire on the part of the true believers to have more and more and more material. It's one of those things." That is a quote from Mark Hamill himself.
Yeah, I read that earlier today. Now, we're going to get into this. You know, we're going to get up to our, you know, we're going to be up to our elbows in this in a little bit. But Ethan, you're the good reader guy. Why don't we go over the facts about what's happened here?
Okay. Essentially, what the facts of the press release, essentially?
Sure. I mean,
George Lucas has signed over the entirety of rights to of Star Wars, and it's Lucasfilm in its entirety is being
yes.
bought by Disney. That includes Skywalker Sound, that includes Industrial Light and Magic, it includes LucasArts, includes everything. It's George Lucas is 100% owner in all that. All that is now being sold to Disney.
So now, does he get that full $4.05 billion?
He's getting like $2 billion in cash, and then $2 billion in stock, in Disney stock options.
Jesus.
And I guarantee you, I mean, basically this announcement just means Disney stock's going to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the what intrigues me with this is that not only do they get this, I mean, it's all of LucasArts stuff, but I mean, that also includes what people really aren't talking much about. It also includes Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, and so who knows what's going to happen with that at this point.
And Indiana Jones 5 is already in the works, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, and it's in development.
No, it isn't. It died when George Lucas said his retirement. But it could be working now. For all I know, there's a press release somewhere say it again.
He's been kept on as a consultant, but other than that, he has no say at this point.
Right.
As long as everything is approved, I mean, the Disney board of directors approved it, and they have to go through the antitrust stuff. But I mean, there's no reason that it's not going to get greenlit the sale. But I mean, what this says to me though is we're going to get we're definitely getting an episode 7. It's a perfect. I mean, just looking at Star Wars is a perfect. Property for Disney. I mean,
they've been working together for the late 70s. But they've had the ride at Disney World
That's at MGM Studios, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Star Tours.
Star Tours.
Yeah, it's at MGM, which is part of the Disney parks.
Yes.
What is interesting to me? One, we don't know what this means for the Cartoon Network. Clone Wars series.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what this means I think Dark Horse still has the license for the comic books.
I read a release this morning or last night that for the time being the Star Wars comics are going to stay with Dark Horse, but there is a possibility in the future they will move over to Marvel.
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. No. Like once that option expires from license or whatever, I would bet it's going to be moved over to Marvel just
now,
to keep it all in house.
Now, the smart thing that they would do is hire on some of the writers that they've used people who do the Star Wars comics.
Honestly, it's like when Disney bought Marvel, it was, you know, people were all like, "Oh crap, you know, we're going to have, you know, Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man." Yeah. And it's only done good things for Marvel. So I think this is only good things for LucasArts and Lucasfilm.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing.
I think this is the comic books, the novels, all that stuff. They're still going to be out there. They're still going to be developing it. The only thing I saw as far as episode 7 is inside sources at Lucasfilm say they're working on an original story for mm-hmm. For episode 7, not based on any previously published material.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bummer. I'd love to see the Zahn trilogy, but yeah.
Why don't we get into that when we actually talk about it? Okay. Now, I want to point something out, and then we can actually move on to the speculation part of this if you guys are ready. I think we've covered, pretty much the facts are that everything that's owned by Lucas is now owned by Disney, and they're starting
everything.
Yeah, everything. I mean,
Skywalker Sound, Industrial Light and Magic, LucasArts. I mean, everything that was Lucasfilm is now owned entirely by Disney. And mm-hmm. he's on as a consultant. And when you look at it, I mean, it makes sense given what he's done and what he's said in the last couple of years as far as his retirement and him saying, you know, I'm done, you know, being part of this.
I'm done. Yeah.
And honestly, it's handing it off to Disney is, I think, nothing but a good thing.
I think that this is interesting. I'm not going to get into anything beyond the word interesting, but I thought it was interesting that on last week's show, I spent about 20 minutes filleting the Disney company and talking about how much I love the Disney company. And then a week later, well, 6 days later, they announced that my favorite franchise of all time is going to be picked up by this company that I love. I think George Lucas listens to my podcast. He's like, well, if Aaron loves them, then, you know,
Noah just handed me the quote here. It's Lucas basically issued the statement in the press release saying, for the past 35 years, one of my greatest pleasures has been to see Star Wars pass from one generation to the next. Said George Lucas, chairman and executive officer of Lucasfilm, in a statement. It's now time for me to pass Star Wars on to a new generation of filmmakers. I've always believed that Star Wars could live beyond me, and I thought it was important to set up that transition during my lifetime. I'm confident that with Lucasfilm, under the leadership of Kathleen Kennedy, and having a new home within the Disney organization, Star Wars will certainly live on and flourish for many generations to come. Disney's reach and experience give Lucasfilm the opportunity to blaze new trails in film, television, interactive media, theme parks, live entertainment, and consumer products. And that pretty much says it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is going to be heading it up, you know.
There's some goofy-ass rumors going around that Joe Quesada is going to take over, but I think Kathleen Kennedy is perfect for it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that just strikes me as fanboy masturbatory fodder.
She's been working with Lucas
Lucas for years.
No, she hasn't. No, she hasn't. She has been since April.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm. It's been since April. We did a show on it. We did a Lost show on it when we talked about the news. And actually, I'm going to release that show next week. I edited it and I threw it all together. I'm releasing that show next week because Ethan's going to be unable to record, so that's going to be neat. Okay, I want to say this real quick, and then we're going to move on into the fun part, the reason why we're here. I cannot think off the top of my head, Ethan, of a bigger news story that's happened in the history of our podcast. I mean, does anything come close?
And how important is Star Wars to you and this podcast? The Marvel purchase was pretty big for me, but
it's pretty big. But really,
wasn't as far-reaching as this.
No,
I mean, this is huge.
This is ginormous.
The only words I could come up with when they announced it was like, "This is huge."
Yeah, and I think that not to toot my own horn, pat myself on the back too much, but I think that this podcast is perfectly placed to have this conversation that we're about ready to have, which is the future of Star Wars. Okay, I'm gonna lay down a ground rule right now. Right now, I'm gonna lay down a ground rule. Noah, this is not going to turn into a fuck George Lucas podcast. Noah, it's not gonna do.
Wait, stand by. I will tell you right now that my statement on Star Wars has always been this. It's George Lucas's baby. He can do whatever he wants with it, and that's canon. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I always have been okay with that. I have never been one of the people sitting there going, no, screw George Lucas, he ruined my childhood. No, it was his baby, and it's always been his baby. Until now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when this happened, it's like I'm excited for Star Wars the first time in 10 years.
And like I said, when you said that, I said I was so proud of you for not saying 15 years. So that's pretty cool. Okay, guys, so here's what we know for positive. We know for positive, George Lucas is not going to have anything to do with this. And we know that they are, you know, well, inside sources say, why don't we just use this as our first, bullet point. And you said inside sources say that they are working on an original story. Okay.
Yes.
Now, is that do you guys feel that that is the correct way to go?
I think so. Yes. I mean, as much as I'd love to see something like the Zahn trilogy, in there, would be, I mean, it is cool, but honestly, you can't they would have to bring in Luke and Leia and Han again, and one, they're Luke, Leia, and Han, and they're just not going to get. I mean, all of those actors are just not fit for that part anymore, which would leave them the necessity to recast it, and people would just keep pissed about
the thing
that.
Is that they, from what I was reading earlier, they're already thinking about recasting it because one of the articles I was reading announced that. It already stated that Luke will be in his 30s to 40s for episode 7. Mm-hmm. It's said it straight up. So we can assume that episode 7 is going to be 10, was it, what would it be, like about 10 to 15 years after the end of
5. You know, that. It would be about 5 years later.
He was 18 in the first one. By the end of the third one, he was...
Like, by the end of the third one, he would have been 25-ish. I mean, okay. And he'd be a little bit older than he is now. We're not talking 40 years.
Yeah.
We're not talking late 60s. Yeah, we're not talking 60s like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, they can't use Mark Hamill for it. They're not going to use Carrie Fisher. They're not going to use Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford wouldn't do it anyway. Harrison Ford wouldn't do it anyway. He's often maintained that he would not return to the role of Han Solo.
No, and I understand that. But this is another thing I have mixed feelings about. Because if you look at certain recaps, i.e. J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
Mm.
It's been proven that people can take roles that have been established and do them well.
Well, that sort of brings us around. Who do we want to see heading up this? Who do we want to see directing this? Now, the people have thrown around, you know, J.J. Abrams and Joss Whedon and stuff like that.
Well,
it's an interesting thing.
I would say definitely neither of those two.
No.
Well, and George Lucas is so entrenched in Star Wars and in our minds that it's hard to think of it separate him.
Honestly, you know, my question is, who's been heading up stuff like Clone Wars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave Filoni. He's an animation director. He's not appropriate for this.
I understand that, but there's certain inputs that and correlations that can still be made, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, who they... It's going to be interesting to see who they get for it. It's also going to be very interesting to see who the hell writes it. I would love to see a couple of the people who have written Star Wars novels throw their hats in. Kevin J. Anderson, who wrote the X-Wing series, would be fantastic for that. Even if Timothy Zahn decided to say, hey, I want to throw my hat in and write the next film. Even if it's not Heir to the Empire, we have that confidence in his grasp of the world, of the universe, that he could do a good job with it.
And I don't think they'll go with any of those.
We're about ready to move away from me putting in my points here. Okay, so let me rewind us back to the question I originally posed. Am I okay with them doing an original story? Fuck yes. I am so okay with them doing an original story. You know, I mean, I am so elated by this news. I've been on fucking cloud 9 since this news came out yesterday, and I've been avoiding the message boards and stuff like the plague. Yeah. But I have seen a little bit, and there's people like, you know what, I'm gonna boycott Lucas if they don't do Heir to the Empire, or I'm gonna boycott Lucas if they don't do like the Yuuzhan Vong stories, and I'm just all like.
I unfollowed one of my own posts on Facebook because of the comments that were going on it. So.
Yeah, I just didn't even go there. Fuck no, I don't want to see any of those stories. Why would I want to see a story that I read 20 years ago in a okay at best book? So, no, absolutely not. Now, who do I want to see working on this? I want to see somebody working on this, and this is going to sound insane, but I want to see somebody working on this that I've never heard of before. I want them to find a new George Lucas, a new Quentin Tarantino, a new hungry filmmaker with a vision. I want to see this significantly different than the Star Wars prequels, the original trilogy. You know, I kind of want to see it, you know, get back to its, you know, almost to its roots to a certain degree. I don't want to see it like, you know, weird ass THX 1138 sci-fi, but I want to see this. I want to see this as like a new and an exciting idea, and I don't want to see fucking J.J. Abrams do it, and, you know, we have to see all those, you know, lens flares. I don't want to see a smart-ass Joss Whedon movie, you know, with Star Wars. You know, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Han Solo, you know, yelling out pop culture things. I'd probably fucking punch somebody in the face. But, yeah, you know, I want this to be a new beginning. You know, I want
this. That being said, I mean, there are going to be people out there that won't want to touch it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking that. It's like, whoever touches this has balls of steel.
They gotta have the balls for it, you know?
and they have to have an iron skin because they are going to be getting so much flack from all the fanboys.
Oh, yeah.
I find it interesting that you guys both said who's gonna write it and who's gonna direct it, and I say motherfuck that. I don't care about that right now. I'm curious who's gonna shepherd it. You know, who's going to be the new executive producer on this? Because this is going to be a situation like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, where it's going to be a, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer, but it's not Jerry Bruckheimer, but it's going to be a, you know, a big name producer that is running this stuff, and it's going to have a director for hire more than likely. So I think that's kind of the more important question, and, you know, I hope it's Kathleen Kennedy. You know, I mean, she's done some.
The person that is Kathleen Kennedy's
I'm pretty sure that
that doesn't mean that she's going to work as the executive producer on this project. You know, she's the head of Lucasfilm Limited in Disney, but that does not necessarily mean that, you know, she's going to be the executive producer of the project. She's, you know, completely within her rights to, you know, to hire this out to a different, you know, to a different.
Disney's not going to be stupid about this.
I don't think they are. You know, my thing about the only thing that we really have to compare this to, and it's not a great fit, but it's the Disney Marvel merger, and that was flawless, and that was completely. I mean, you didn't even notice it practically, and I don't think we're going to get that this way, because what the fuck do you think is going to happen if they turned this new trilogy, and we're going to have to figure out the moniker for that, because, you know, we have the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and now whatever the sequel trilogy, okay, you know, copyright Ethan Parker, but we have the sequel trilogy, and what do you think is going to happen if this is like Transformers or the Star Wars prequels, except, you know, they need to do something crazy with this, and I want to stress that this again. I don't want to see those books. I like those books, but I'm good with them being books. I want to see something I haven't seen before. I want to see something, you know, with some new hot young talent, and I want Star Wars to be what it was when I was a kid. I don't want it to be this fucking joke that I'm, you know, sitting in a corner crying about because I'm the only one that I seem to think is sane anymore. You know, I want that excitement back. You know, I want to be punched in the face in like, you know, episode 8 when there's a, you know, you know, Luke, I am your father kind of reveal. I mean, I want something, you know, I mean, I know that this is so, I mean, I'm so stretching my expectations here, but it's what I want. I'm not saying it's what I'm expecting.
I don't think you're stretching those expectations at all. I mean, I am entirely excited about what they're going to do.
I'm almost in tears, guys. I'm so excited.
We're getting an episode 7. It's like, we're getting more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love Star Wars.
Real Star Wars. Not just like
the animated stuff. You know, we're getting more live-action Star Wars movies. I mean, this is something that we never thought we'd see again.
No.
So
I see that as nothing but a good thing.
It's just...
I'm just so interested in this news. I want to see more. I want to see who they get to write it. I want to see, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, I don't know what my reaction is going to be if, you know, they get, you know, I don't know, Michael Bay to direct it, or, you know, somebody like that. And I'm not even trying to shit on Michael Bay here, but just somebody established, somebody with a reputation. Yeah. I want to see, like, you know, who the fuck is this? Some guy that directed commercials? But, you know, you got to remember that, you know, Ridley Scott's a guy that used to direct commercials, but, you know, he got a break. So, I mean, that's what I want here.
Ridley Scott Star Wars. This is interesting.
That would be odd.
That would be a weird fit.
I see that.
Okay, guys.
just saying.
Okay, so we are three realistic people here, mm-hmm, who aren't hyperbole spitters about the prequel trilogy. But, you know, we do all recognize its faults. What should this new sequel trilogy avoid, or what should this new sequel trilogy, you know, embrace that has worked or has not worked in the prequels and the original trilogy?
I think one of the things I'd like to see it embrace is a little bit more subtlety. The prequel trilogy kind of punched it. We are Jedi! Punch you in the face. There's just Jedi everywhere. And yes, that's part of what was nice, you know, interesting about the original trilogy is, yes, the Jedi have died out. And yes, they're a lot more prevalent in the prequel trilogy. I get it. But just in terms of things like saber battles. Original saber battles, original movies felt like fencing. Mm-hmm. Calculated. Slower. A lot more measured. Prequel trilogy, just friggin' shit everywhere. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it's gonna be interesting to see. Yeah. You know, are they going to throw brand new sets of ships at us, or are they gonna stick to some of the prequel stuff? Are they going to? There's.
Mm-hmm. I think the key thing is it needs to still feel like Star Wars.
Exactly.
I want to see them sort of keep that inspiration that was for Star Wars. You know, those serials, that serial mm-hmm. mentality of that this is not. I mean, this is entertainment. This is something I'm not going to go see the Star Wars movie expecting deep, moving drama. You know, it's like no, it's a Star Wars movie, and it's a sort of really a genre in and of itself. Right. You know? I want to see them embrace and keep with that serial mentality of episode 4, 5, and 6 that they had. You know. But the key thing for me is just keep it. Feel like Star Wars. It has to keep that.
That's going to be tough. And then you can't deny it. That's going to be tough.
It can't just be another sci-fi movie, but with lightsabers.
You know, guys, I'm not as worried about that as you two seem to be. Because, look, you know, it happened with Empire and Jedi. You know, that was somebody else, you know, helming it. Granted, George Lucas was the executive producer, but, you know, he didn't write them. He came up with the story, but, you know, it was just like a basic, you know, overlay. And then, you know, he, you know, put it in, you know, somebody's capable hands. And he did, and, you know, once again, you know, say what you will about him, but most people generally like Empire and Jedi. I mean, there's some poo-pooers out there that, you know, oh, fuck those movies because they had Ewoks or whatever. But, you know, for the most part, you know, they are relatively well-accepted movies. And George Lucas chose Irvin Kershner. He chose Marquand. And he also chose Kathleen Kennedy. So I think he understands the people that get the sensibilities that these things are going to need. So I'm not that particularly worried about it not feeling like Star Wars.
I think it's we're gonna see some good movies, and I think we'll see some bad movies out of this. But ultimately, we're getting more Star Wars, and I think that's the important thing here is it's more Star Wars, and I think we're gonna get some really cool stuff out of it. You've already brought up the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the first movie was really good, and then the next three were, you know, lackluster.
Not really good, yeah.
But made, like, mountains of money.
Yeah.
And I think Disney, especially of late, I mean, and when we keep going back to the Marvel thing with Captain America, with Thor, with the Avengers, you know, I mean, it is very evident that Disney knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
And I have faith that they're not going to overtly fuck it up.
It's
not, you know what the number one thing that needs to be avoided, I think, in this new series? Number one thing in my mind? An R rating. I do not want to see Star Wars turned into something for adults.
Right.
I don't want to see. And there are those people out there that want that.
It works for all ages. I mean, because the original trilogy does that.
Yeah.
That's part of the feel of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can make a great space opera with it, you know, and they can do a great job. And they can get good writers. There are tons of talented people out there in Hollywood that nobody knows about. And, I mean, there's some named guys I'd like to see take a crack at it. And I'm sure we'll see them take a crack at it, but Disney knows that they've got their hands on a property here that is beloved, like eternally beloved, and they're not going to half-ass it. They're not going to put out a movie that's like, okay, well, this has lots of explosions and is perfect for Michael Bay, so this is going to be great. It'll make us lots of money. They know that they know how just rabid the fan base is, and they're not going to do this half-assed.
Agreed.
I'll tell you something. Getting away from the movies for a second, I'll tell you that, you know, let's looking at some of the other possibilities that I'd like to see. I mean, there's a big open opportunity here for Disney on its own. Mm-hmm. Disney has their Disney Interactive, department, which is great. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like I was saying, it's a perfect property for Disney because I mean, the Disney's got animation, their interactive stuff, their theme park. It's perfect for them because Star Wars, a central part of Star Wars, like I said, the original trilogy works for all ages. I mean, adults love it and kids love it, and that makes it perfect, perfect, perfect fodder for Disney. And not to even mention Pixar, Disney. You know, we're gonna see this. We're gonna see some awesome stuff out of this. I mean, that's the bottom line. We're gonna see some great animation, and you know, yes, I haven't seen Clone Wars. I hear it's very good. I think this is nothing but good thing because Disney knows what the hell it's doing. They've been in business for, you know, freaking almost 100 years, you know, I mean, 70, 80 years at this point, and they know what the heck they're doing. And they're going to be very methodical to do the same thing they did with their Marvel buyout, was like, well, we're not going to go in and replace everybody and make it and Disney-fy anything. I mean, that's not what Star Wars is. That's not what Marvel was.
And that's not, but that's also not what they do. They see, I mean, look at it from what it really is.
They're not just going to throw $4 billion away.
They're not, but let's talk about it for a second. This is a financial decision. This is, Lucas is ready to get out. We have the money to take it from him and use it to
make
money.
And we have a good relationship with George Lucas.
So let's utilize them.
Exactly.
So it's a very financial decision. Don't forget that. Don't, you know, get away from the
other side. They're going to make a mountain of money off of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just a given. They're going to make money, and they're going to make. But they also know that they can't alienate the fans.
That's true. Now,
I kind of wonder how much thought is going into what happened between Star Wars and the Star Wars fans with the prequels, though, because I wonder if they see a somewhat alienated fan base, or if they just see, you know, people bitch about it online, and some moron made a 4.5-hour review of The Phantom Menace saying how awful it was. But they made money. So, I mean, I kind of wonder how they're approaching this. I mean, is it just like, you know, this is a slam dunk because, you know, I've met so many people that say the Star Wars prequels are amongst the worst movies ever made, and they made just shitloads of money. Shitloads of money. I mean, Phantom Menace is in the top 10 of all time, if I remember right, or at least it was, at least briefly, with the 3D re-release.
The fact of the matter is that not to be negative, but no matter what they put out, fans are going to go see it. We're going to see it.
Yeah.
So it's going to make money no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's
really a win-win situation.
It is. It's absolutely a win-win situation.
So like, no matter what we put out, people are going to love it.
They're going to see it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be that absolute split. I swear to you, there are going to be look at the generational split. I know kids who are, you know, 15, who grew up with basically the prequels having been out.
Yeah.
14, whatever it is at this point, 13 years, 99, something like that. They grew up with the second set of movies,
right,
and they adore them.
Yep.
But, you know, for good or bad, they adore them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something to remember, is that whether we like the prequels or not, it still did its job, and people still like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the next generation still liked Star Wars. Whether the old, you know, because we're the old school at this point. We are the last set of people. So are we going to like it? Maybe. Maybe not.
But
it's gonna keep Star Wars going, which is the bigger thing.
And that's just kind of what this needs to. I think that this, you know, that's yet another thing that they need to do, is they need to just not care about the hyperbole. They need to make these movies for this new. I mean, you can't call it a generation because it's only been 13 years since, you know. Well, it'll be 15 years, 16 years by the time Episode 7 comes out, but they just need to make it for, you know, this new group of kids. And right. You know, and you are absolutely right, because my nephew is 11 and he fucking loves himself some Star Wars prequels, but he also loves Anakin Skywalker, and everybody hates Anakin Skywalker, but he's a kid and he doesn't give a fuck because he's got a lightsaber and lightsabers are cool. And you know, that's the joy and wonderment that we want out of this. You know, we want this to we do want this to appeal to that younger generation, and that it could very easily point to something that isn't going to appeal to us. And I'm okay with that. You know, I have the original trilogy and I have the prequel trilogy for that matter, but this sequel trilogy, you know, if one thing, I mean, I know it's kind of, I'm not sure if I completely agree with this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I mean, if there is one of the bigger faults of this, the prequel trilogy, it's that they seem to make, there was a lot of fan service in it. I mean, do you honestly think that Jango Fett was in George Lucas's mind all those years ago when he was writing? No, absolutely not. He put him in there, you know, for the fans. And then, you know, these are supposed to be movies for, you know, 8 to 10 year old kids, and you're dealing with intergalactic trade policies, for love of God. And I don't think that that's what needs to happen. I mean, I think it needs to be a rip roaring space opera. You know, I mean, it needs to be something that appeals to these kids, but the thing that's going to appeal to these kids is just not going to be what appeals to us now or even then, because this is, you know, they grew up on different things than us. They grew up on different, you know, and honestly, we are a little bit young for Star Wars. We really are, because we were at least Ethan and I are. We were born in 1980, so I mean, or 79.
Scary thing about that, Aaron.
Yeah,
I'm 5 years younger than you.
I get you. But my point is there's people that are, you know, 5 to 7 years older than us that were perfectly primed for, you know, for these movies, and it's maybe more for them.
But it's interesting you mentioned that, because my next point was actually going to be, you know, as much as people diss the prequels, 2 and 3, I can give or take. I love The Phantom Menace. It was, because for me, that was the first one that came out when I was alive. It was my huge thing. That
wow,
was
my, get off my shit. Really?
Yeah. Huh?
5 years makes that, I guess it would make that much difference, wouldn't it? Wow. Holy shit. I remember seeing Empire and Jedi in the theater. Uh-huh. I mean, I remember.
And that's the thing, is that I never, I'll take it back. The first Star Wars movie I saw in the theater was the special edition.
How old were you in 97? Like 11 or 12?
12 years old.
Because we were in high school when the re-releases came out, you know.
And I was 12 years old. I saw Star Wars, and I saw Empire in theaters. I, for some reason, missed out on Return of the Jedi, which depressed the hell out of me, because as a kid, that was my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
It was my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite's always been Empire, but that's neither here nor there. I still love Return of the Jedi, but you know that's beside the point. That's what I want to see, guys. I want to see a movie made not for me. I mean, I do, you know, because it's time for us to hand over. I mean, George Lucas handed over the keys, but it's time for us 35-year-old people with families and stuff like that, that we need to kind of hand over the keys to this universe as well, and let this new generation, let our kids play in that sandbox and just appreciate the fact that, you know, that we got to play in it too.
You know, it's something my dad told me when we went to see the reissues, the special editions of Star Wars, and he said he remembers seeing them in theaters when they first came out, and in 1977 when he saw Star Wars, there were parents there with their kids, and the parents were sitting there and leaning in close and reading the scrolling text to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 1998, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's now our turn to be those parents, to lean over for our kids and say, okay, this is what it says, you know, blah 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 blah, you know, and just let it go. And
I drove my mother insane as a kid, because I would watch Star Wars over and over again, and every time I watched it, she had to be there to read it to me.
Yeah. So I think you're entirely right. We have to hand over the key, and George Lucas has handed over the keys. Now we should hand over the keys as fans.
Now, that being said, there are certain things that I would like to see outside of just the movies themselves.
Sure.
Okay.
Honestly, I want to see a couple new computer games, specifically things along the lines of X-Wing. Uh-huh. some new good flight simulators, and there's a whole research. I can get into this, but there's a whole big resurgence of space flight sims coming out, especially with the guy who created Wing Commander is putting out a new game that is causing a huge craze of people to go, wait a second, there's space flight sims? Heck yes. So it's something that I know a lot of space flight sims fans have been like, yeah, we want another good Star Wars one.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't gotten it, so...
So you can only play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter for so long.
Yeah. X-Wing Alliance is good.
You know, I mean, I think all that's just going to come, Noah. I think it's going to come with the movies. So
I'm hoping it comes, because it's been 12 years since the last X-Wing game, because the last one was X-Wing Alliance in 2000. And the last time there was semi-decent Star Wars flight sim was with the birth and death of Love It or Hate It Star Wars Online. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Galaxy, sorry. Which had, once they put the Jump to Lightspeed pack in, had flight sim in it, and that was actually fun. It felt like playing TIE Fighter again.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, you know, I think they need to realize that there's a lot of people who want that hands-on, I want to feel like I'm in the middle of the Star Wars world. And some of the stuff that they've been putting out hasn't done it really well. The Old Republic game didn't do it very well. Galaxies did it okay, but it didn't succeed well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, some of the latest efforts that LucasArts has put out have just sucked. Mm-hmm. I mean, things like Star Wars Kinect, which is the last Star Wars game to be put out. Now, I say it's not good. My 13-year-old cousin was screaming over the phone about it to me because he loved the fact that he could sit there and force push a Rancor. Mm. which you know, that may go back to the point of, okay, maybe I'm a little too old for that game.
Yeah.
You know? But
well, I have fond memories. I mean, probably one of my favorite LucasArts games was Jedi Outcast.
Oh,
that was pretty fun, yeah.
But and they haven't done one of those. No. They haven't done a good game like that since then.
Well, Jedi Academy was
not good.
Yeah.
It was not good. The reason they didn't make any more is because that one was bad.
Yeah.
Let's see some good
Star Wars video games. Let's see some. I mean, and I'm interested to see what happens because. What was it, earlier this year? No, it would be over a year ago now that Fantasy Flight Games picked up the licensing for all Star Wars role-playing games, board games, all that stuff is in the hands of Fantasy Flight. And our friend Nathan and I just played the new X-Wing tabletop game. Friggin' fantastic. Great game. Oh, my God, so much fun.
I need to try that out.
Yeah. But there's a lot of merchandising. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming down the pipes. Action figures are never going to go out of style.
No.
I want to see them get away from the... I would like to see them get away from the this is a collector set to these are toys for kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say, in 2007, they put out a brand new Millennium Falcon that was about $200, $240. And man, was that thing sick! We sold it in the comic store that I was working at the time, and we bought two of them, and one of them we just took out of the box and put on display. There was a button on the side of it that would drop the ramp the loading ramp, and it actually had the whole sound when you did it.
That's cool.
It'd be cooler
if it spit out the steam, but you know, hey, you know, we can't win them all.
It did spit out the steam, but the inside was like hyper detailed to be like movie accurate. It had a little light up chessboard table that had little clear figures that you push on the table, and the whole thing lights up like it's and it plays the Let the Wookiee Win scene. It had something like 100 lines of dialogue programmed into the damn thing from all the and like, you know, 50 different buttons to push and, you know, sound effects, and it would. It was the one toy that I was sitting there going, I want one so badly. I'm 25 years old, 23 years old, whatever the hell I was at the time. I went, I want one. oh my god, do I want one? I still want one. I should save up for that.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Well, guys, go ahead.
What we're going for this is it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's just the overall, you know, feeling here. If people disagree, then they're just going to have to disagree. But, yeah, do you guys have any closing thoughts on this? Any, you know, let's say Kathleen Kennedy's listening to our podcast. What would you like to say, you know, or Disney, you know, who is it Iger that's running it these days? I can't remember who's running Disney these days, but what would you like them to hear? You know,
we're getting more Star Wars. We're getting more live-action Star Wars. That is awesome. That's pretty much it. I think this is an excellent job. Now, Disney, do what you do best. There you go.
I say good luck, ignore the negative fan base, and, yeah, do what you do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, honestly, you know, I think I nailed it best. I think I said it, you know, better earlier than I'm going to say now, but, yeah, Noah's right. Ignore me. Ignore people, you know, older than me. You know, pay attention to my nieces and my nephews and the people that, you know, that you're making these for, and, you know, try to make it to where, you know, people are, you know, comfortable, you know, handing over the keys to this great sandbox that, you know, we grew up playing with. So I'm super excited about this. I'm, you know, I'm maybe more excited for other people than I am for me, but I'm also pretty damn excited to be hearing this.
I know I'll dump my whatever movie ticket prices are at that point.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna see whatever they put out.
Yeah, me too. But I'm very excited about this. Okay, guys, do you have anything else to add before we stick a fork in this?
No, I think I've hit everything I want to talk about.
Noah,
I'm good.
You're good. You're good. Well, thank you for being on the show. It's good to have you back, and maybe we'll tackle something else at some point in the future, since you're so much easier to get a hold of.
I always love coming on Confessions of a Movie Snob, which I almost called Red Phone Zone.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
No longer.
No longer. We rebooted. We sold Red Phone Zone to Disney. I wish. I wish.
We did get $4 billion for
it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys, I don't know what we're doing next week. Actually, you're not going to be here next week because you're going to be watching Skyfall. So I am going to... What?
So are you.
I am?
Yeah.
I didn't know. You did what?
I got a spot for you at the screening if you want to go.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I do have that. I do have that George Lucas episode that I want to post. It's funny. I've already got it edited and ready to go. And I honestly, Ethan, I have no idea why we didn't post it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. So that'll be good because, you know, we've done our best to avoid talking about Lucas directly tonight. But that's what that show is that's us talking all about George Lucas and, you know, what we appreciate him. So that's certainly going to go up next week. So, so just, you know, stay tuned to the channel. Stay tuned to us on Facebook. And more stuff is coming out. So I guess until next anything at all here.
Until next time.
What's that?
Until next time.
Until next time. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
I have a good feeling about this.
So do I.
That music makes me happy.